Welcome to this week's Rock and Talk interview series, Around and Round with Jerry Cortez. Jerry is the guitarist and currently tours with the iconic band Tower of Power. His stories include coming up in the San Francisco Bay Area, as well as touring with the Youngbloods and Jesse Colin Young. He also writes, produces, and performs his own songs, and we're lucky to have him now residing in Central Mass. Enjoy! It's the same refrain.
So we fast forward to, 2009, a friend of mine who I was teaching in this town called Murray, Utah, and a friend came in and goes, hey, my wife's really a big fan of this band Tower of Power, and I was going to get tickets. Are you and Kathy interested in going? I said, sure, but I'll get tickets. He goes, what do you mean? I said, I know those guys. He goes, what?
Oh my God.
And they're originally from Connecticut. I got tickets through my good buddy Tom, we were just talking about. And we went and saw the show. He comes up to me before the show. He came up to me and he goes, it's ironic that you're here. I said, why is that? He goes, well, Rhythm Section had a meeting with Emilio last night, and they want to move on with, you know, they want to get a different guitar player. They feel like it's not working out.
Oh,
and
wow.
So he goes, you might just end up in this band after all. Wow. So this is after them asking me couple years earlier, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, so we went and saw the show, and again hung out with and talked with the band a little bit. At the end of 2009, that was July, at the end of 2009, I hear from their drummer David Garibaldi, who sends me an email and says, greets from Switzerland. He was on the tour bus, and he's asking me if I want to audition, you know.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, those cheeky bastards, they're making me audition. They didn't even make the last guy audition, and they kind of know me.
Yeah.
So now I just had a laugh about that, actually.
Yeah.
And I like saying cheeky bastards, especially to somebody from Britain. So they asked me to come and audition, and I did. And I learned 4 or 5 songs. And the highlight of the audition for me, which was, it was just the rhythm section. And so that was, at the time, it was Roger Smith on keyboards, Rocco Prestia on bass, the famous bass player we all know and love, and David Garibaldi, the drummer, and Emilio. No, the horn section wasn't there, no lead singer.
Mm-hmm.
So they just wanted to hear me play with the rhythm section.
Yeah.
And I thought the whole time I was playing, doing the audition, playing with the rhythm section, I was like, even if I don't get this gig, man, I know I'm going to go away from this buzzing.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel this for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, this is special, you know. Mm. I felt really good about it, you know. And one of the highlights for me was, and it still is, it's paying off all these years later, is he asked me to learn 5 songs, and I learned them. And then he asked, so anything else you want to play? I said, sure, how about this? And they go, we don't know that one. Well, how about this song? We don't know that one. We're not playing it right now. And so it got to be where I named off several songs, and then they finally said, how many songs did you learn? I said, I don't know, maybe 30 or so. He said, well, you know,
overachiever.
I just wanted to get inside their heads. How do these guys think?
Yeah.
Because it's a really unique band. You know, their approach to playing music is different than, and you really hear that. And when you hear a Tower of Power tribute band, you go, that's not Tower of Power.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Tower of Power does so well and consistently is they cut off notes. They cut, I grew up, play each note its full note value, right? So that's what we were taught as kids, you know, and growing up.
Yeah.
And they don't really, and ballads and things like that, of course, but when they're doing the funky stuff, they really, everything's really sharp and notes are cut off.
Oh.
And everybody.
So now we know the secret.
And then they do it together. And, you know, but people are just not hearing that. They're not catching that.
Mm.
You know, they're doing the songs, but they don't catch those idiosyncrasies.
Mm.
And those are the subtleties, you know, the ghost notes. Mm. Bop, t- bop, t- bop, t- bop, t- bop, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm.
They're not getting the silence bits, you know, that sound like percussive bits.
Mm.
And I do the same thing on a guitar. You know, that kind of thing. It used to surprise me when I listened to Tower of Power. It's like, how could those guys be so busy yet sound so together? You know, that's what always kind of blew my mind about the band, listening to them. back to the audition, he kind of threw me a curveball and he said, hey, let's do the out section of the song Can't You See? And he goes, it's an E flat. First off, I went, great guitar key. Not.
Yeah.
But I went, ooh, my favorite song, though. I mean, it really is. I've always loved this song called Can't You See?
We're going to take a quick ride back to Oakland. Can't you see? I tried hard to do my best. Ooh, baby. So I could stand out from the rest. Yeah. I can't figure out what you're all about. No, 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 no. And I'm left standing.
He goes, I want you to solo on the end of this song, and we're just going to vamp, and you solo. Let me hear you play. And I wasn't expecting you to do that. And so right. We did. And so we played, and we get done. He stops. He looks at me, and he shakes his head. He goes, wow. Oh, man, that was great. I said, hey, thanks. He goes, that's usually where the audition ends. I said, what, guitar players? And he goes, no, everybody. So anyway, I leave the whole thing thinking, wow, this felt good today, you know, this felt like this went really well, you know.
Yeah.
And spent a few more minutes chatting with the guys. At the time, their sound engineer lived nearby, and he took me to the airport. I flew home. I flew to Portland, and then I flew from Portland to Salt Lake. They gave me a direct flight there. On the way back, they roughed me up a little bit. But as soon as I landed in Portland, I listened to my voicemails. And it was a voicemail from Emilio Castillo, the leader of Tower Power. And he said, hey, Jerry, this is Emilio Castillo. Just want to let you know, we want to do the deal. That's what he said.
All right.
So I ended up joining the band. So we fast forward a few weeks later, I ended up doing the first rehearsal with the band in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And during that rehearsal, and he goes, hey, you guys, let's run Can't You See? And we're going to put a guitar solo at the end of the song. And there was never a solo there ever.
Awesome.
So it's now a guitar solo.
Oh, that's great.
So it
still
is
still an E flat though?
Or? Yeah, still an E flat. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's horns. Fine. This is spoiled.
Yeah, exactly. Got to play in the flat keys for the horn players.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? They do their share of playing in sharp keys. They really do. And yeah. There's no complaints from them ever.
Right.
You
well,
know?
You guys are top notch musicians, period, yeah. The whole band.
Yeah. No, but I don't mind playing an E flat either. It's actually a glorious key. It's a wonderful sounding key.
Yeah.
It's beautiful on piano too.
Wow.
So yeah, but that's how I ended up in the band. And so January 14th, 2010, my first show. That was fun. So it's been fun. And, you know, kind of highlights of places that we've played for me has been Red Rocks with Denver Symphony. That was amazing. And because people ask, well, what are your favorite places you ever played? You know, and then the other one was Royal Albert Hall.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
In England. That was pretty special. Hollywood Bowl has always been, it's always fun playing there too, you know. And there's one coming up, our first show of our European tour. But our first show is at the London Palladium, which is a big one, you know.
Wow.
That's another great venue.
So how many people you think, like, how's most people you guys have played in front of, like, what's some of these venues?
Crowd size?
Yeah,
or
crowd
just,
size, yeah.
Crowd size, well, mostly the largest places we've played have been like playing on the same bill with people that really can fill those places, like Dave Matthews Band,
mm-hmm.
Journey, Steve Miller, those kind of groups like that.
Mm.
Santana, you know, we played on the same bill with Santana, Dewey Brothers, Steve Miller. And that was one show. That was, you know,
jeez.
A big festival. It was at the big ballpark in San Francisco.
Wow.
So yeah, that's
big
fun.
Crowds.
Big
20,000.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Larger.
Larger, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Some of my favorite places that have been to play have been the smaller places.
Do you have any really terrible gigs that you had, like, that with nightmares? Like, I've heard some stories about some people playing with Chuck Berry, and he was like a total jerk.
Oh,
and
really?
Things like that.
No, I don't have any
nothing,
stories.
No bad stories.
No,
oh, that's
not
good.
Not really.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah.
You know, not even really worth mentioning. Mm. You know, I mean, I could go back. You know, earlier days. You know, I used to work with Jesse Colin Young many years ago, and he was an interesting person to be around. Peace, love, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But he was a complicated individual, you know, as we all are, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I learned a lot from him because he was like 14 years my senior, and I was pretty young when I started. I was like 30 years old. I worked with him and learned a lot about the studio, a lot about touring, a lot about playing. One funny story I have is I was on an airplane with Jesse, and the two of us were flying down to San Diego to play, and there were two brothers that were in the band. They lived in Seattle. They were flying down from Seattle. So Jesse and I were on a flight, and it wasn't a full flight, and we had a row to ourselves, and he was sitting just kind of behind me, kitty corner. And he comes up, he goes, "Hey, Jerry, come back here. I want to hear you. I want you to hear something." I went and sat next to him, and he had a Walkman, you know, with a CD player and some headphones. And he goes, "Check out this guitar player. Tell me what you think of him." I said, "Who is it?" And he goes, It's somebody my son really likes." At the time, he had a 16, 17-year-old son living at home. And he goes, "My son really likes this guy. His name's Yngwie Malmsteen. Check him out." And so I listened to him, and I was like, "Whoa, man, this guy's got some serious chops." And he goes, "Yeah, that's what I thought." Anyway, so we went and played the show.
Yeah.
Right? So, but anyway, if you haven't heard, a lot of people listening have heard of Yngwie Malmsteen. He's a phenom from Sweden. He's been around a long time, and he plays like Paganini stuff on a Strat, and he's just like blistering fast.
Wow.
Yeah, he's actually an incredible guitar player. We'll be right back. So we do our gig, and we had a great time. We played in front of a really big crowd at the San Diego Fair, and so we had dressing rooms, and we had motorhomes as dressing rooms. So I walked into Jesse's motorhome, and he had his shoes off, and he had his feet up, and he's laughing. He's looking at me. He always had a cigarette. He always smoked one cigarette after the show. He was not a smoker, but right. He always had a cigarette after the show.
That's funny.
He had his feet up, and he's laughing at me. He's going, "Jerry, man." I said, "What?" He's going, "What's so funny?" He goes, "I should have never played you Yngwie." It's like, "What?" He goes, "Every solo you played, I could tell you were trying to play like Yngwie."
Were you, or did it just...
I was just excited to play, know. So he thought that because I probably played a few more notes, I could never play like Yngwie if I tried.
But it did sink in. Something sank.
It did. It was powerful. I was like, holy cow, this guy.
Wow.
Is,
oh, that's funny.
Amazing.
Well, right. It all.
So I was inspired by him. I actually wasn't. And to this day, I cannot play a single thing by Yngwie. Don't get me wrong there. I'm not trying to say I can play like him. But I was inspired by him. I really was. But he goes, "Man." And that's, he goes, "You know, in your solos, you have to make your solos sound different one from another. You know, you really can't play the same solo all the time. You know, it has to vary, you know." I said, "Yeah, well, you're right, you know." So there's just things like that other people would, he wasn't ever afraid to tell me what was wrong. This is how he rewarded me. He would come up to me, he would hug me, and he'd kiss me. Yeah, he would. I mean, he was just, "Oh, man, I love you," you know. So that just, so I was rewarded often from him. So I really did. I learned a lot from him.
We bought the record right here in the Rebop Record Shop at WCUW. Jesse Colin Young, and you're on it. And we had you sign it.
Highways
really
for
cool.
Heroes.
Yeah.
You know, that album, I'll talk about that album for a second. It actually started off at the time when I was playing with him. It was just the two of us. There was, he just really wanted to explore his roots. At one time, he had a full band with some great musicians, but the influence they were having on him was to, it's the 80s, put your acoustic guitar down and tighten up those leather pants and get out in front and sing, you know, and maybe even wear some eyeshadow, you know, whatever, it's the 80s. That's what's going on right now. We need to do that. He embraced it for a very short time, only a short time, like maybe a month, like a handful of gigs, you know, and he said, "Screw this. I want to get back to my roots and I just want to do acoustic music. This is what I do. This is who I am. Jerry, you interested? Sure. Anybody else?" They left.
Really?
Yeah.
So now it's just Jesse and Jerry. Yeah,
exactly.
I dreamed that I was riding in a South Dakota field, and the sweet grass whispered to me as I rode. Oh, the sun, it was at midday, it shone hot across my face, and our land lay still in grace. Yes, a crystal silent place before you came. Brothers, they were riding by my side, and we watched a golden eagle flying circles in the sky, and we smiled as our eyes met, for our joy we could not hide. Yes, we loved to hunt and ride. Was good to be alive before you came. Brother, take my hand and we will walk this magic land together. Sister, look on high and you will see that storms sacred hills and the sky. It was here all wrapped in blankets in our younger days that we fasted and we listened for the night would bring us visions before you came. Brother, take my sweet grass whispered to me as I rode. Oh, the sun, it was at midday. It shone hot across my face, and our land lay still in grace. Here's a crystal silent place before you.
That was really, really a wonderful time for me because I got to play venues like in small theaters and stuff where I'll go back many years of playing in bars. You know, we're playing a beautiful ballad and some bartenders taking a large bottle and he's throwing it into a garbage can full of other bottles.
Yeah.
And you hear just the crashing of glass right in the middle of a beautiful ballad. You know, it's like it was just so refreshing because this was all new experience for me to play where you could hear a pin drop. We'd walk up on stage, it'd be a couple wooden stools and you hear squeak across the floor. Sit down and play just really nice acoustic music, and I'd love to sing with him. He's a beautiful singer. He was a phenomenal singer, and it was so nice to harmonize with him and stretch my upper range because he already has a high voice and I would sing above him.
You have a very, was it falsetto? Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you. So that was a great, great time for me. Great learning experience.
Around and round, the record goes, spinning tales of joy and woes. Round and round, hear it skip, it spin, turn it, turn it,
just can't win. Turn and turn and just can't win. Turn and turn and just can't win with you.